I'm Marty Moscow, and welcome to Radio Times. There's a mayoral election in Philadelphia with a vote on November 8th. The Republican incumbent Michael Nutter is being challenged by Republican Karen Brown this fall. Brown has been a teacher in Philadelphia, co-created the pro-union nonprofit The Brotherhood, and is the founder of the Southwark Civic Association. She's got her work cut out for her because the GOP is a minority party in the city. There hasn't been a Republican mayor of Philadelphia for decades. Michael Nutter was our guest last week, and now we welcome Karen Brown to Radio Times. Nice to have you with us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Help us understand who the Karen Brown who ran for city council last spring, and this was the Democrat Karen Brown. How is she different from the Republican Karen Brown who's running for mayor?
She's not. She's the same girl. I was always very fiscally conservative. That was the difference between me and most Democrats. Brett Mendel and I and some others in the Democratic Party did not like all the spending because we didn't like all the taxes that came with it. And that's pretty much, that was the only difference between me now and me then. It's the same person. I'm still very socially liberal. The party doesn't make the person makes the party. And truly what I want to do is I want to show that Republicans and Democrats alike have the same issues. Nobody wants to tax us. Nobody wants to burden on the small businesses. I'm part of the South Philly Businessmen's Association, so I hear firsthand what's doing to our businesses in our city. And I just truly believe that we need to cut City Hall. I think our government's too big and we need to stop the spending.
And I want to get to all of that. You have described yourself as a union girl. Those are your words. Do you have union endorsements?
I do. I have unions. I didn't ask for endorsements because, unfortunately, this mayor is he's a little bit of a bully, and he has let anyone who endorses someone against him know that if you endorse this woman, you lose his number. And I didn't want to put my union brothers in that predicament, so I didn't ask for endorsements. I did in the primary. I did not even seek them in the general. I have support from unions. No, I did not ask for endorsements, and whether or not they consider them endorsements, I haven't tooted that horn. I just took their support because I appreciate it, and I do have some. I have a lot of labor. Building trades labor, because they know me. They know who I am. Republican, Democrat, I'm still the same girl. I'm still going to fight for them and make sure that the middle class, the working class, gets what they need in this city.
Let me give a couple of quotes, and this is from the Metro, and this goes back to July 07, and you told Brian Hickey, reporting for the Metro, you said, I can't see how you can fix the schools without breaking the union. It prevents you from getting teachers back to teaching again. I'm not against teachers. I'm against the teachers' union. Our kids are suffering. Why do you oppose the teachers' union?
The teachers' union is for tenure. And I wasn't trying to break the union. I was trying to remove tenure. Jerry Gordon and I got into it over the tenure. And the reason why I'm against tenure is because it creates rubber rooms. And in New York, they had done a study, and it cost $35 million for 813 teachers in rubber rooms in New York.
How about for Philadelphia?
Philadelphia, there's 703. I could not get the figures because they would not let me know. I went to the governor's office. I asked Jerry Gordon, and you might think I was asking for something major. They would not give me the figures. Now, we're laying off first and second year teachers, and we're laying off special ed teachers. Why are we doing that when we're keeping the rubber rooms? That was my brief with them. And if the union was going to stand by the rubber rooms and stand by the tenure which creates it, then I was against him, and again, not against his teachers, but again, because I know the teachers want to see their first and second year teachers teach. They want their special ed teachers. They don't want them cut. They don't want to see teachers sitting in a rubber room and not getting paid for doing nothing while they have to hire another teacher.
But how is the union not representing the teachers? Because you went on to say, I'm still pro-union as long as they benefit the membership, which the teachers' union does not. How does the teachers' union not represent membership, even beyond
they
the
rubber won't
rooms?
Remove, they, that's just it. They won't remove.
Is that the one, is that your
that's
one critique?
That's my one issue, yeah. There are colleges now removing tenure for that reason. We can't have tenure when we're laying off teachers. We are in a recession, and the teachers need their jobs, and the kids need the teachers. We have to cut back on the tenure. We have to remove the rubber rooms. We have to make sure that the teachers that are out there get to teach, and the kids get the small class sizes they need to get an education in the city. Our system is so broken already, we can't add to that by removing teachers.
You have said, and this is looking at some of your press announcements, that you're going to appoint a quote-unquote butcher. He or she will cut the fluff from the city budget so we can have a government the taxpayers can afford. Where would you make those cuts?
First of all, I would not have a staff as large as Michael Nutter's. 44 people to run the city is too much. I believe our council staffs are also too large. That's where you need to start.
How much too large are they, and how many of those
you don't
would you
need
cut?
12 people in a council room. I think 4 is plenty. 4 people to run a council's office is plenty. You don't need more than that. And the mayor does not need 44 people. I think you can do it with much less.
How much less?
I would do it with half that. I think we need to do more with less. We're asking people in this country, in this city, and across the country to do more with less, and we need to do it at home first. You got to start at home. You don't ask somebody to do something you're not willing to do. And they have so much waste in the city. Michael Nutter created another whole department called 311 right in the midst of the recession. Are you kidding? We do not need...
Would you get rid of 311?
I don't see a reason for it. I mean, unless you... I don't know anybody that can't read a number in a phone book and dial it themselves. And I get the theory behind it. It was to get you services without being politically connected. But you know what? We need to stop that. They should be able to access whoever they elected by dialing their phone number. They're back the old days, going old school again. You were able to do that. Numbers were in the phone book. You called them. You got your service. We need to stop with the play for pay. And we need to stop creating departments, whole departments, just to do that when we're in the midst of a recession.
In a debate, actually, with John Fetterman, this goes back to the spring, you said that you would cut one-third to one-half of all City Hall employees except for police and firefighters. Do you stand by that?
Row offices, not employees. Row offices. One-third of row offices. I believe that. I do believe that. I think we need to close. Our row offices are way too large. We have way too many employees in them. And we have to ask our elected officials to do more with less. We're in the midst of a recession. And we have city unions that don't have contracts. We have firemen and cops that are either being browned out or furloughed. So we're asking them to take the blunt of it. We need to start taking some. We can't cut our core services anymore. We need to enhance our core services and keep them fully functional. And it's the city row offices that we need to cut. Our elected officials have become like little kings. They need to go back to being public servants again.
The city faces something like a $60 million shortfall. This is largely as a result of the downturn in the economy. If you were mayor, where would you make those cuts? Or how would you address that?
First of all, what I would do is the city owns over 40,000 empty lots and buildings, and I think we need to get rid of them. I think we need to get out of owning everything in the city and reduce what we own by selling them off. We need to get it developed, all those lots and buildings.
Who would you sell to?
I would get Philly engineers, architects, and builders into Conversation Hall and say, look, this is what we own. It's time to develop our city. We'll get some bankers in here. We'll get some financing going. We need to get these properties off the city's budget and off insurance of the city and literally sell them and get that money in there so we can get some more small businesses, which will create jobs. I also want to look into getting federal grants for solar panels because I believe the street lights should be like Jersey street lights, solar energy. That just would create more jobs. Also, Southport, which is in Harrisburg now, it's being lobbied. I would be down there making sure that got here. Southport's a super cargo port that would be down in the Navy Yard, which would create 10,000 permanent jobs, but 100,000 immediate jobs in this city. So I wouldn't be looking to cut too much. I would look to actually create. If you create jobs, you bring in income, and that's how you bring down the budget.
About 70% of the properties in the city, though, are privately owned. What would you do about those?
We need to get those people to come up and start developing their properties.
How do you do that?
We have to find out who they are and have a conversation. That's why they have Conversation Hall. It's not to have speeches what the mayor does now. But we can't leave our city the way it is. You walk through it and you see abandoned properties boarded up. It's a disgrace. This is supposed to be a tourism city. Does a tourist want to see that? You go down Delaware Avenue behind the movie theater or behind the malls down there on Delaware Avenue. You see that empty warehouse falling apart. Is that what a tourist wants to say? I would never come back to the city if that's what I saw. If that was my first sight in the city, I'd be like, what is this? Where am I going? You go to the Divine Hotel, which I did a promo for Fox 29 on. That's a disgrace, too. It was a beautiful building that we let get dilapidated. We need to start taking more care in our city.
But if the city is facing a shortfall and it needs development and it has all these abandoned properties, where do you get the money to do those ambitious projects?
Well, you know, the president himself is saying he wants to create jobs and he's going to put some financing out there. We need to seek it. We need to go into, you know, you can't do it from your ivory tower in City Hall. You need to go into Harrisburg and into Washington and find out what grants are out there. Find out what financing is out there. They found it before. We got to find it again. There, it's out there. You just got to look for it. And it's not going to happen overnight. I never said it would. It's going to take at least 2 years to get that off the, get it started and get it rolling. But we need to do a little as we can. We need to start making it happen. We can't just sit there and wait. He had 4 years and he didn't do anything.
What do you mean he didn't do anything?
He didn't develop anything. Those buildings, when Rendell left and Street came in, Street was starting to continue what Rendell had left, which was a development. When Michael Nutter came in, nothing got developed. It just sat.
And is that his responsibility and problem, or is that because of the economy?
Is he the mayor?
Indeed,
I mean,
he is.
So he should be doing it. It's his city too. And in order to encourage tourism here, which is what we want to do because it brings money into the city, we have to find a way. I didn't say it would be easy, but you know what? I don't know what he's doing in City Hall. I'm still trying to figure that out. But I would be out there trying to find a way. If I develop 30 buildings a month, one a day, that's 30 buildings more we didn't have developed before.
How would you improve the schools in Philadelphia?
I want to get an appointed school board and an elected, the head I want appointed, and the elected board underneath.
How would you do that? Because that's something you'd have to really take to Harrisburg. This was as a result of the state
that's
takeover.
That's part of the reason why I'm running as a Republican, because the school system is one of the major things as to why I'm running. I was a school teacher, and when I see these kids, he says the graduation rate is up. He's right, it is up. But the kids are coming out with a fifth and fourth grade reading level. Is that an accomplishment? I think not. You know, we need to turn it around so these kids actually graduate on level, 12th grade reading level, not a fifth or fourth grade reading level. And you need to get your hands dirty in this one. We need to appoint somebody from Philly, not from Chicago, Cincinnati, San Francisco, but somebody from Philly who's done this job as the head of it. And then we need to ask the communities to elect somebody who represents them. And then the mayor and the governor need to work with those elected people and go through the schools one by one so we can turn them around. We also need to bring back the small business. We need to bring back the business schools and the trade schools because not every kid wants to go to college. We have to find a way to reach them so that we give them a valuable education so they can be productive in society.
You also, we're about a minute away from our first break here, but you support vouchers, something that the Republican governor of Pennsylvania supports as well. Why do you support vouchers and how would that actually improve education for all of the students in Philadelphia?
I think the parents in this city feel as though they have no choices. They're not happy with the school system. The charter schools, you need a lottery. And I had a foster child, and your child's number doesn't get called. It's traumatic to both you and the child because then you're left with no choices. I think voucher enhances the choices that we give the parents. And I think we need to make the parents feel as though they have an active interest and a choice in their education for their child.
If every parent had a voucher in the city, would there be enough schools, enough openings for those children?
We need to create more schools. That's definite. We, unfortunately, the schools that we have are broken. Nobody wants to send their kid to a broken school. So we need to, that's what I mean. We need to get an elected school board who has some insight as to what's going on in their community and start fixing those broken schools one by one so that they become a choice for the parents.
And that's Karen Brown. She is running for mayor of Philadelphia as a Republican. Joining us today on Radio Times last Monday, the incumbent Democrat Mayor Michael Nutter was our guest. And we have waiting in the wings Michael Meehan. He's the general counsel to the Republican City Committee. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. 1-888-477-9499. WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
1812 Productions, Philadelphia's all-comedy theater company, supports WHYY. 1812 Productions presents Mistakes Were Made, the newest comedy from Craig Wright, writer for 6 Feet Under and United States of Terra. Starring Barrymore Award winner Scott Greer, this fast-paced comedy shows us an afternoon in the life of a Broadway producer who turns the theater world on its ear when he decides to make art instead of money. Mistakes Were Made, now on stage through October 30th. Tickets at 1812productions.org.
How does where you are influence what you do? The Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts supports WHYY and presents Here, an exhibition that looks at how the work of contemporary artists is saturated with the experience of where they live. On view October 22nd through December 31st, Here showcases the work of 24 artists and artist collectives from 6 different regions of the country. For details, 215-972-7600 or PAFA.org.
Morristown Friends School proudly supports WHYY and is hosting an admissions open house on Sunday, October 23rd at 2 p.m. Founded in 1785, Morristown Friends offers rigorous academics coupled with a spiritual and ethical education program for students in preschool through grade 12. More information, multimedia, and all open house dates can be found online at mfsopportunities.org. mfsopportunities.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen talking with Karen Brown, who joins us here in our Philadelphia studios. She's the Republican running for mayor of Philadelphia, challenging Michael Nutter. And joining us now is Michael Meehan. He's the general counsel to the Republican City Committee. And Mike Meehan, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty.
How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Very well. And to our listeners, just one open line at 1-888-477-9499. Mike, I'm curious why you had to get a Democrat to run for Republican mayor of Philadelphia.
Well, Marty, in any election to win, you have to be able to attract Democratic votes, okay? And in a city where we're outnumbered 5-6-1, why would we limit it just simply to Republicans? Some of the greatest Republican leaders who have been elected in this country had been Democrats. You know, whether or not it's Ronald Reagan was originally a Democrat. So we don't limit ourselves simply to registered Republicans.
John Fetterman was a possibility as well. Why didn't you choose him?
Well, John, on some of the issues, was not. Karen was much closer to the standard issues, sides of issues that Republicans stand for.
And what are those issues? And I want to get Karen back in on the conversation as well. But, Mike, what to be a Republican in Philadelphia, what do you believe in?
Well, I believe in limited government, and I think government should serve the people, okay? And Karen believes that, trying to help children who have failed school systems. Karen's interested in jobs. Karen's interested in the people in the neighborhoods. She thinks the neighborhoods have been ignored for too long and that the people should come back and take over the city.
Karen, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I do believe in that. I believe, unfortunately, the middle class has become the working poor under this mayor, and they feel like they've lost their voice. And I think Republicans, too, have felt like they have been ignored. They're just the credit card. They're the credit card for the mayor's spending, and it's time to take it back. We need to say, you know, this is our city, too. We have a voice, and our concerns should be your concerns. And I don't want to be a politician. Michael Nutter is a polished politician. I want to be a public servant. That's the difference between him and I.
Mike, let me go back to you, and then I do want to get some callers in on the conversation. This goes back to the Republican primary in the spring. There were less than 17,000 people who voted for the Republican candidates, and that's about 13% of registered Republicans in the city actually bothered to vote in the primary. What does that tell you about the party and also the people that identify with the party?
Well, but I don't know that if you, the general malaise of voting was applicable to all parties, Marty. Okay, it's not simply Republicans. Okay, and in the primary, yes, only 17,000 or about 15 or 16% of the people vote. But that's I'm sorry, more people didn't come out. But unfortunately, the issues that were discussed were issues that were not pertinent to how we could improve the city. And I think the media and the candidates, not Karen, she was out there talking about issues all along, and that was simply ignored.
There is now a Republican governor of Pennsylvania. The legislature is majority Republican. And Mike, I'm just curious about how you want to parlay that into a stronger Republican Party in this town.
Well, that certainly will put Republicans involved in what's going to affect this city. Whether or not it was during the Ridge Schweiker years and all that, that they get to be participating. However, you know, there is a thing away from both of the major parties right now, and having Republican leadership is very important. Part of our problem here in Philadelphia is over the last decade, the demographics of this city has changed drastically. It's now much more minority, and you have many more immigrants here than there were 10 years ago. And we have to get a message and a messenger for those new voters.
Have you been working to get some of these new residents of Philadelphia in on your side, Karen Brown?
Yes, I've been through the Asian community as well as the Puerto Rican community. I've been where the people that nobody seeks have gone. I was at 5th in Indiana the other day, and it was Vernon Odom. He says, well, how many people around here really vote? I said, maybe they never had a reason before. You know, you have to give people a reason. If you go into their neighborhoods and speak to them, we register them as we're there. You know, they actually, after listening to me, want to get involved and they want to vote, and they've even asked to volunteer. But see, nobody's ever actually gone into those neighborhoods. You know, you see politicians when you see them, when they walk in the beat, they're walking them in the Northeast, they're walking them in Chestnut Hill, Manayunk. Nobody goes to 5th in Indiana or 51st in Vine.
Nobody goes to 5th. In Indiana?
I've never seen politicians out there. And it was funny because when we were there with Burnham, the one guy said, we've never had a politician here before. And ironically, we weren't there to really canvass. We were there to pay our respects. We had canvassed just a week before. And a week later, there were three kids killed 7 o'clock at night with a machine gun. So I went back to the community that had canvassed the week prior just to let the community know how sorry I was that they lost those three kids.
Mm. And that's Karen Brown. She is a Republican running for mayor of Philadelphia. Michael Meehan joining us by telephone, general counsel to the Republican City Committee. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. I should add that last week Michael Nutter was our guest on Radio Times. Let me get John from the Northeast. Whoops. Yes, John from the Northeast to join us on Radio Times. Actually, it looks like we might have lost John. Let's try number 5. Do we have number 5? No. Okay, I think we're still trying to get some of our callers straightened out at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Karen, you mentioned the fact that a number of children were killed, and of course that's a tragedy no matter how you look at it. But it is also true that under this current mayor that the homicide rate has dropped. It's still too high, obviously, but it has dropped about 20 to 22%.
No, that's wrong. That was last year's figures, because we corrected that on the debate. If you watch the debate,
I did.
He used last year's figures. That was October 2010. October 2011, according to the police records that we have, and I have the report in the car if you wanted to see it, it's 18%. And this mayor also said when he did his inaugural that if he didn't get the homicide rate 30 to 50%, he shouldn't be reelected. And, you know, I've spoken to the cops. I've been in the police stations. Ramsey is asking them to code them. So even though they're a homicide, if they were killed under special circumstances, they put it as an S for special investigation rather than a homicide. It's still a murder. So you really can't.
Are you saying that the police department in Philadelphia is fudging their numbers?
I'm telling you that I was a math teacher, and you can get numbers to mean anything you want them to.
But is that what you're saying, that the
police
department is fudging?
I'm saying that I don't believe that the numbers are totally correct, is what I'm saying.
You're saying that there are actually more homicides in the city than have been reported?
If we get all the ones that die, whether they died that instantly or died 3 hours later, or the ones where they have to do special investigations, or the ones that are homicides, and combine them all, I think the numbers would be different.
And you think they would be 18% more than
I
than
think what? They would be closer to, yes, I think they'd be much higher.
So you're saying that under Mayor Nutter, the homicide rate has not gone down whatsoever?
I don't see how it could have, because he's only had one class of policemen in his administration actually graduate.
And the second one is about to graduate.
Which actually, he only has 6 cops in. Let's be serious. In 4 years, many cops have retired. He has not replenished them. The same thing he did with the firehouse. There hasn't been a class in the firehouse since he's been in. And yet the firemen are retiring. Where are the new ones coming from? So how can they possibly be down? He's got one cop in a car instead of 2. They don't have their buddy system anymore. They're driving by themselves.
But isn't that because the government in Philadelphia is essentially short on cash, that they have to figure out how to balance
why is it that we always cut our cops and firemen? Why do we go to cops, firemen, and kids? I mean, you can't find anything else to cut? You mean to tell me that there's nothing else you could find to cut except your core services? Well, he found the money for Ackerman. He found the money for Ramsey. He should have let Ramsey go back to Chicago. We have plenty of good people here. And they should have never brought Ackerman here. She got $1.3 million in San Francisco for doing nothing, and we hired her for another $1 million here to do nothing.
Michael Meehan, you want to weigh in on any of this, and then we will get to our callers.
Well, I agree with Karen. There's problems when it's always every time there's a problem with the schools, it's always that's what they go at when there's a budget problem. Okay, and in this particular year, up through the primary, nobody knew that there was going to be a real estate tax increase, and then the day after the primary, geez, everybody knows we're short, and we're going to have to raise our taxes. I'm of the belief that you know 2 or 3 years in advance what's going on, and it's time for a change.
Let me get, looks like Shirley from Center City, Philadelphia, to join us. And Shirley, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes. I have a couple questions.
Go ahead.
One is, I want to know what Karen Brown is going to do to really transform the education system in the city of Philadelphia. And I also want to know when the independent candidate, Diop Wally Baman, is going to be on this show, who really presents an alternative to the conditions in the city of Philadelphia.
Well, we are working on that second part, and let me give the first part to our guest, Karen, and she wants more specifics in how you want to transform the educational system.
Since I'm the only person of the three that are running that actually has any education background, I want to literally work with the elected school board and go through the schools one at a time.
What does that mean, though?
Well, it means going into them, going in and talking to the teachers and finding out what
every classroom in every city.
I want to start with the grade schools, with the kindergarten first and second, and I want to go into the middle schools with the seventh and eighth, and I want to go into the high schools and talk to the ninth and 12th, beginning and end of each school, because I want to see where they're coming in, what level they're coming in, what level they're graduating with. I want to see where they are, and I want to figure out why we're so behind in our reading and math levels, and I want to take it one school at a time. I actually want to also create new schools. Like I said, I want true business schools and true trade schools, because not every kid's going to go to college, but we have to find a way to educate them so they can be productive.
And how do you create new schools under this?
Public schools that are broken, we need to just turn them around and get a new curriculum in there, either a business school or a trade school. We don't need to have as many broken public schools as we do now. Southern is only teaching them to be violent. Most of those kids...
Wait.
High school. I know for a fact that's part of my.
You cannot say that a high school is teaching students to be violent.
They have the most violence in there, and when
they
you have
a new principal.
I know, and I'll give him or her. I'm not even. I haven't met him yet, so I haven't been down there since I've been running. So that much I have to say.
But you can't say that a school is.
They have
is
more
teaching
violence when you have a metal detector to go through the school. There's something wrong with that.
Well, clearly, but you're saying that a school is teaching students to be violent.
They're teaching them that they need to go through a metal detector to go in there. So what are you saying? You're saying there's already a presence of violence. So you're saying the violence is allowed to happen in this school.
Well, no, I think the metal detector is there to prevent violence.
You should have handled it so we didn't have to get to the level of a metal detector. That's my point. We need to get, you know what? There are schools like David Hardy's, and I toot his horn all the time. He did it in an area where it was very rough.
The Boys Latin.
Yes. And he didn't put a metal detector in. He got those kids to respect each other and to work together. I don't think metal detectors deter kids from violence. I think it says there's a presence of violence here, and you better learn to defend yourself or else you're going to have more violence. You know, I think it's a joke. This is not a prison.
You better learn to defend yourself.
That's what when you go through a metal detector as a parent, what's the first thing you think? Oh my, where am I going? You know, you're not thrilled about your kid being in there because there's a metal. I don't think it makes you feel safer. I think it makes you wonder why it's there. As a parent, that's what I would think. I don't think I want my kid to go to a school with a metal detector. I think I'd want my kid to go to a school where the kids respected each other and got along. And I think that's what we need.
Mike, let me get back to you. And as the general counsel to the Republican City Committee, how important are schools in Philadelphia?
Well, they're very important, because if you don't have a well-educated workforce, how do you attract better, high-paying jobs? We have to get beyond just graduating kids for service jobs. You know, we have to get real industry and real jobs where these can make a living wage. That's unfortunately, our schools are failing, and it's affecting our economy and our workforce.
Let me get, looks like Victoria from Germantown to join our conversation. Victoria, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you for this show.
You're welcome.
I have a question for both your guests, Marty, which is, what is the problem in Philadelphia that we have really only a one-party system, and we really don't have a Republican party strength at all in the city. I mean, Marty started out by asking Karen why she had, you know, been running as a Democrat a few months back, and now she's running as a Republican. And I think that really kind of signals part of the problem. There isn't, doesn't seem to be any basis for a Republican Party in Philadelphia. And I admit I'm a registered Democrat, but I would like to know what it is that that actually makes either of you Republicans. And
well, you know what, Victoria, let me take your question. It's a good one. And actually, Michael, let me toss that first to you and then to you, Karen.
As I said earlier, we have issues as the changing demographics, and the Republican Party, national or statewide, and I'm going to say locally, has a problem with messages and issues, people reaching out to minorities. And as much as I have tried to reach out to minorities, I'm not a minority, and unfortunately, although I have many minority friends, my message goes on deaf ears. But why do I think that? Number one, I do think there's a Republican Party. It may not be have the strength that we'd all wish it to have. But for years, Republicans have never fought in primaries. We've always tried to, whether or not it's state, national, or local, not to have primaries. We've had primaries the last couple of years, and it still has not generated people wanting to be. For years, Republicans were basically enticed to become Democrats because the Republicans don't have primaries. You can go, well, it's easy to turn them for one election. It's not very easy to turn them back to being Republicans.
Well, you know, Mike, if you don't mind, only because I'm looking at the clock here, and I also, there's a caller we probably can't get on. This is Renee from West Philadelphia, but she does have a question for you, Karen, which is, you know, what does it mean to cut Row House employees? And specifically, she wants to know who and what kind of employees would be cut.
It's the elected, your elected public servants. That's what they are. They're not politicians. I don't think, if they truly are public servants and that's what you are supposed to be electing them for, then they need to do more of that public servants. They don't need a kingdom to run an office. They don't need 12 people. They should be able to do it with less because they need to get more involved. You know, there was a piece, I don't know, I think it was Fox 29 that did it, where they went around to the Row offices to see how often they were actually in their office. What is that saying? You know, if we have to get special investigation to see if our guy
should they be in their office or not in their office?
They
from
should
your
be.
Perspective?
They should be. There should be a presence. They shouldn't be down the shore. They shouldn't have 12 weeks off. They should actually be doing the job of a public servant. They should be helping to pass laws or whatever their Row office is supposed to do. Constituent service. They should be more active in that. You know, we left England because we wanted to get away from the kings. I think it took many years, but we created our own kings. We need to go back to being public servants. That's what this city was built on.
We have to say goodbye to you in about 30 seconds here.
Can I ask the Democratic answer the Democratic
question?
Yeah,
very quickly. Go ahead.
You know, I think what it is this, we've been, I was born a Democrat, and most people are, and they never really question it because their parents are Democrats, and you're kind of born into it. It's not until you really take an active interest in politics that you say, well, I don't know if I really agree with that. And I think if more people ask why they were Democrats, not just saying, well, my father was a Democrat, my mother's a Democrat, or I'm a union guy, that's why I'm a Democrat. You should ask, is this really, do I believe everything this party says? I think some people would actually flip.
Well, Karen Brown, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She's the Republican running for mayor of Philadelphia. Michael Meehan, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. And he's general counsel to the Republican City Committee. And Kevin Kelly, excuse me, founder of the Loyal Opposition, is waiting in the wings. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Lancaster City Arts is proud to support WHYY. Lancaster City Arts, 125 art venues, all within one walkable community. From galleries, art studios, museums, and an art college, to music, poetry, dance, photography, professional theater, and symphony, it's an opportunity to experience something different in an art scene that's quite unexpected itself. Lancaster City Arts. The journey starts online at lancasterarts.com.
Supporting WHYY, Graduate Studies in the Arts and Sciences at St. Joseph's University, offering flexible master's and certificate programs such as organization development and leadership, health, education, including a new doctorate focused on higher ed and writing studies, full-time, part-time, on-campus, or online. To register for the 5 p.m. open house on Tuesday, October 18th, sju.edu/higher knowledge. Graduate Studies at St. Joseph's University. Higher knowledge, higher potential.
Supporting WHYY, Art and Theater Company presents the Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award-winning August, Osage County, now on stage through October 30th. A father disappears on a hot summer night. A pill-popping mother summons her grown daughters back home. Dinner is served, lies are told, and the battle commences. A vivid portrait of familial dysfunction brought to life by a Philadelphia cast. For tickets, 215-922-1122 or augustinphilly.com.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowain. We're looking at the state of the Philly GOP, why it's been so hard recently to build Republican support in the city, and why it's important to have a strong opposition party. We just said goodbye to Karen Brown, running for mayor of Philadelphia as a Republican. Also said goodbye to Michael Meehan, head of the Republican City Committee. Joining us now is Kevin Kelly. He's the former chairman of the Philadelphia Young Republicans, founder of the Loyal Opposition. He's a Republican state committee and 22nd Ward leader. And Kevin Kelly, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Do you support Karen Brown?
I do not. I never wanted to come out against Karen Brown, and I've kind of held my tongue. But, you know, now that I'm in this forum, you know, Karen's simply a non-serious candidate put forth by Michael Meehan to maintain status quo. And by that, I mean Michael Meehan personally has controls the machine. Michael Meehan is the grandson of Austin Meehan, who also controlled the Republican machine. And in exchange for not running serious candidates or not trying to build the party, they have an unholy alliance with the Democrat leadership in this city. And in exchange for that, they get some patronage jobs at the Parking Authority. Michael Meehan personally gets no bid contracts, legal contracts from the Parking Authority. And there's some other little smattering. I think he gets a free parking spot, and that's about it. And the rest of the city has to suffer through 70 years of one-party rule and all the social ills that come with that.
And I want to pick up on a couple of those things. If not Karen Brown, though, who do you think would have been a better candidate for the Republican Party in this town?
John Fetterman. And would John Fetterman have won? No, but he would have held Michael Nutter accountable. He has a handle on the issues, and he represents Republican values. Karen Brown was a Democrat committee person. She was actually running for office as a Democrat. Michael Meehan had literally gone to every person he knew to run for mayor, and 2 weeks prior to the deadline, knowing that John Fetterman was our candidate, along with another slate of very credible candidates, he asked Karen Brown to run, and now we have Karen Brown, a Democrat who holds no Republican values, running. And again, this is a joke, and this is what Philadelphia gets, and it's truly a shame. Karen, I don't know if Karen knows if she's a pawn in this game or not, but she is. I'm sure she's figured it out by now, but whether she's on an ego trip or I don't know what it is, but again, I'm not here to badmouth her. I'm here to talk about, you know, the future of the Republican Party, and she's not a part of it.
But I'm also curious about the bad blood between the Loyal Opposition and the Republican City Committee. What is that about?
Well, it's a crazy notion that if you are actually the so-called leader of a party, you have an obligation to actually want to win elections. I don't know. I think that'd be a prerequisite. Michael Meehan, and it's very hard for people to get their minds around this, doesn't want to win elections, doesn't want to build the party, and wants to enrich himself and a handful of his friends, and that's it. And it's been that way for a very long time, and I'll give you an example.
Go ahead.
Michael Meehan says, oh, well, it's very difficult changing demographics and this, that, and the other thing. It's always some excuse after another. We registered, there's 3,000 committee seats, Republican committee seats in Philadelphia. About 900 of those are filled. We went out and recruited 400 in a matter of a month or two, primarily minority African and American Latino folks who stepped up, went into their neighborhoods, got 10 signatures to get on the ballot to run for vacant Republican seats. Michael Meehan challenged them. So these are vacant seats, challenged them, and not only did he challenge them, but they forged the signatures to challenge them. And I'm told there's a DA investigation into those forgeries. Now, it's one thing to say, woe is me, I can't get minorities. Look, I go into these neighborhoods. My church is at 47th and Chestnut. I talk to people, and their support for the Democrat Party is a mile wide and about an inch deep. You have to show up. Michael Meehan not only doesn't show up, but when a young kid, Lamont Ebron, for example, goes around in his neighborhood and gets 10, says, I'm running as a Republican, he gets 10 signatures, probably from the only 10 Republicans in his neighborhood. And that's no small matter of courage to do that. And then to be challenged by the leader of the party on those signatures, and by way of forgery of a dead woman? So Michael Meehan has a lot to answer for. He'll be gone soon. His leadership is not recognized at the state party level. And we're going to get some real leaders in there like Al Schmidt, which I hope we have a chance to talk about.
Well, and I do want to talk about that. But taking what you said there, though, Kevin Kelly, if there were a Republican mayor of Philadelphia, one that you could support, how would this city be different?
Well, the city would have to live within its means, and the city would have to start telling the truth to, say, pensioners, and the city would have to encourage business to come into the city. And by that, I don't mean this notion of having a conversation or what Karen Brown said, going out and getting federal grants. I don't know if Karen Brown understands. The city, the state, and the nation are broke. So I don't know where she thinks this magical grant money is going to come from. These have been problems that have been papered over, and we're about to go through some very dire times in this city. And by dire, I mean we have a pension that's not funded. We have an absolutely abhorrent tax structure that forces small businesses to either cheat or go out of business. And we also have crime that is off the charts. Our kids are murdering each other at a rate that is appalling. And then finally, we have a school system that is just flat broke. And it is a very unholy alliance between unions and politicians. And the only person not sitting down at the table when things are negotiated like contracts are the people who are actually picking up the bill, which is the taxpayer who is fleeing this city at an alarming rate. The producers are leaving, and the takers are staying. And pretty soon, these negative economic feedback loops are going to start showing themselves in very ugly ways.
Well, that's Kevin Kelly. He's the former chairman of the Philadelphia Young Republicans and founder of the Loyal Opposition. He's also a Republican state committeeman and 22nd ward leader, the third of three guests in this hour on Radio Times. As we look at the Republican Party in the city of Philadelphia, and it is dramatically outnumbered by Democrats. Karen Brown, running for mayor, was a guest on Radio Times earlier in this hour, as was Michael Meehan, head of the Republican City Committee. And again, Kevin Kelly joining us in this final portion of the show. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Kevin, what is the relationship between the Loyal Opposition and Bob Gleason, who's chair of the state Republican Party?
Chairman Gleason understands that with Philadelphia that loses by 400,000 to 500,000 votes in a presidential election, you can't win statewide, and you can't win, more than likely, Pennsylvania in a presidential election. But more than that, Rob Gleason cares about Philadelphia. Philadelphia is on its way to being Detroit in a lot of ways. It is a system that is broken. It is a corrupt, crony capital system that's run by politicians who hand out favors to a select number of people. But that doesn't grow the pie for everybody. That enriches a few politicians and a few developers, and the politically connected. Rob Gleason cares about Philadelphia and recognizes that without a viable Republican Party, the people of Philadelphia will suffer, because the people who make the rules, the politicians, are not accountable. They don't care in Northwest Philly when, for example, right now, people don't want a shopping center, a new dollar store coming in. They don't care that 150 people show up at the zoning board meeting. They don't care because they know they'll be reelected. Because the machine goes into action, pays off the right people, and you get the same politicians time and time and time and time again. And this is a professional class of politician who only sees as far as the next election and their next paycheck. Look at drop. Look at the amount of these salaries these people get. Look at the amount of work they put in. Look at the corrupt story time and time and time again. This is what you get with a viable two-party system.
But when you criticize the parking authority, and the parking authority has come under much criticism. In fact, I'm looking at something from the Philadelphia Inquirer about 4 years ago. An Inquirer analysis shows the parking authority has become a self-replicating patronage machine that has used its new revenue principally to double the size of its staff and to inflate the salaries of its myriad managers. This is after the state, essentially the Republican Party, take over of the parking authority.
Absolutely. And John Purcell, the man who did that, is now facing a prison term. I'm not defending the Republican Party or the Parking Authority. The Parking Authority is another tax on people. The fact that I can't even carry enough quarters to get to very limited spots on the street and then have to pay $26 to park, and more than likely if I spend more than 10 minutes inside, I'm going to get a ticket, is absurd. The people won't come to shop in Philadelphia because of this. This is a self-licking government lollipop that is another, just another black mark on our city.
What, though, has Mr. Gleason, though, done for the city of Philadelphia?
Mr. Gleason has given us support when our ward leaders, myself included, won elections, not one, but two elections by the committee people in the 22nd Ward. We filed, Michael Meehan said, well, we don't recognize that election. I'm going to appoint the ward leaders, and he did that for multiple of our ward leaders. Just the amount of corruption, they changed the bylaws without procedures. I can go on and on and on. These guys are clinging to power through corruption and deceit. Chairman Gleason wanted nothing to do with that and sided with us and basically told Vito Canuso, the current chairman of the Republican Party, he is no longer welcome at state level. He is not recognized as the chairman of the Republican Party in Philadelphia.
Now, there is, as we all know, a new Republican governor of Pennsylvania. There's a Republican majority in the legislature, as I said earlier in this hour. Does that help your cause?
It does. I think, in all candor, the governor wanted to stay out of this. I'm very disappointed, but Senator Pat Toomey jumped in, got behind guys like Al Schmidt, who's running for commissioner. By the way, that's one of the most important elections we have. It will define who leads the Republican Party moving forward. Commissioners run election day operations, and the Republican in there now is a lackey for Michael Meehan. When there's corruption at polling places, or the Black Panthers are out with a nightstick, or the Republican poll watchers are getting kicked out, or people are pulling guns, or people are going behind voter machines and running up tallies, this gentleman goes and gets coffee when the complaints come in. He is a useful idiot for the corrupt machine, and I would hope that people recognize Al Schmidt is a good and decent man who is interested in nothing more than bringing fair elections to the city of Philadelphia. He was with the Government Accountability Office. He's got a PhD and a doctorate. This guy is the real deal, and if you want fair elections in Philadelphia, vote for Al Schmidt and Al Schmidt only on Election Day. You can vote for two. Please vote for one, Al Schmidt only. It will be the genesis of a new Republican Party in Philadelphia if Al Schmidt gets elected.
And define useful idiot for us.
I think it was actually a quote of Stalin's, but guy who looks the other
You're
way.
You're not quoting Stalin on Radio Times, are you, Kevin?
Yes, I am. Well, it's good to know your enemies and what these guys have done. But look, here's a guy who drives 100 miles a day in his car, who supposedly lives in the city. So he's telling me we drive 100 miles a day to and from work. He has the 19th highest rate of car use as a city employee. The 18 others work for the Fairmount Park Commission and drive around all day. This is a guy who's lined up to take a $250,000 taxpayer-subsidized drop payment if he gets reelected. And when complaints come in on Election Day, he goes, like I said, and gets a cup of coffee while the cheating continues. His only job is to ensure that these allegations of cheating and corruption. Look, in 2006, Philadelphia was voted the number one city for voter fraud in the country. This guy has done absolutely zero, and he's in on the scam. And in exchange for that, he gets a job with a nice six-figure salary and a staff.
We can hear from you just the level of enmity that you have for Michael Meehan. But is that good for
Bill? Listen, it's not. I have an enmity for someone who calls himself a leader but does these things on the it's criminal. Forgery is a crime.
You said there's an investigation, but you're accusing him of a crime?
There's an investigation. Well, look, Michael Meehan, these were delivered to Michael Meehan. He either doesn't know about it, in which case he's incompetent, or he was in on it. Either way, he cannot be the head of the Republican Party in Philadelphia. And his record of failure is long and distinguished, and everybody knows it. It's just taken a while to convince everybody that that's the case, because it's hard for people to get their minds around that the guy who claims to be the head of the Republican Party is actually in on the scam and doesn't want to win elections. People don't want to believe that.
But if Republicans in Philadelphia are dramatically outnumbered, are fighting with each other, how do you build a party?
I cannot, and the people that I am standing with, good, decent, hardworking Republicans like Al Schmidt, cannot stand on a stage with a guy like Mike Meehan or Vito Canuso and say, follow me, because their record is what it is and their actions are what they were. What we can do is have them removed and start to build. We've already done it, aside from them. I told you we went out and got 400 new committeemen. There's people who are hitting the streets every day making the argument, guys like Al Schmidt running for commissioner. When we take over the party in Philadelphia, and we will, you will see a new effort and a more visible effort to go out and make the case. Woody Allen said 90% of life is just showing up. Well, the Republican Party hasn't showed up in about 75 years, and it's darn well time they did.
What's the timetable for, as you say, taking over the party?
Soon. If Al Schmidt wins this election, we will be the de facto leaders in the Republican Party in Philadelphia. That is why they are spending every dollar making alliances with every Democrat to get this commission. This Muckleman couldn't care less about this mayoral race, as he couldn't care less about the other one and the one prior to that and the next one coming. But he does understand that this row office that Al Schmidt is running for is the linchpin to his future control over this party. If Al Schmidt wins, he's finished, and he knows it.
It's a minute before we have to say goodbye here, but isn't that just practical politics, that in a town that's essentially run by the Democrats, you have to make alliances?
You have to make alliances, but you also have to want to win. The going-in position is you have to want to win. You can't just want to enrich yourself and let the kid who has to walk to a failing school in North Philly through hails of gunfire fend for himself. Those things, the things that are broken in this city, while the Democrats were in charge, those things also fall squarely at the feet of Michael Meehan and his lack of leadership and his lack of giving the people of Philadelphia another choice and another option. You walk into that ballot box, and other than Al Schmidt this time, there are no options. And if that's what Philadelphia wants, that's what Philadelphia gets. Well, you're going to have to live with those consequences.
Kevin Kelly, thanks for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. The former chairman of the Philadelphia Young Republicans, founder of the Loyal Opposition. He's also a Republican state committeeman and 22nd ward leader here in Philadelphia. We did talk with Michael Meehan. In fact, he was listening while Kevin Kelly was joining us. He's the general counsel to the Republican City Committee. And we began our conversation with Karen Brown. She's the Republican mayoral candidate for Philadelphia. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes and check us out on Facebook and Twitter, and you can also check out those archives and send us an email as well. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times.